Al-Bashir, your source of Islamic literature presents The Lives of the Prophets, Part 1.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then he, after this introduction of da'wah, after he has fulfilled his part in conveying to them the message, now he gets to the answer of the question. But he held them back until he finished delivering the message of truth to them. And now he's going to tell them the answer. Why? Because they need him. And because they need him, they're willing to listen. So he took advantage of that and he started giving them these important concepts. And now he's going to give them the interpretation of the dream. He said, O two companions of the prison, as for one of you, he will pour out wine for his Lord to drink. And as for the other, he will be crucified and birds will eat from his head. Thus is the case judged concerning what you both did inquire. One of you will be very close to the king. One of you is going to leave from this prison and jail, and he's going to be one of the close associates of the king, and he will be pouring wine for the king. This is the one who saw that he's pressing wine. And the other one of you will be taken out of jail and will be crucified, and he will be left on the cross until birds will come and eat from his head. And that is the one who saw that he has bread, and birds are eating from it. And then he said, the issue which you are asking about is judged. That's it. That's the judgment of Allah. It's done. And then Sayyidina Yusuf went to the one who he thought would be saved and will be close to the king. And Sayyidina Yusuf told him, please remember my name in front of the king. Yusuf was thrown in jail. They oppressed him. The appeal, because the one who put him in jail was Al-Aziz. And that was the second highest authority after the king. So there's no one whom Yusuf could appeal to except the king. He's the next higher authority. So Yusuf wanted his case to be presented in front of the king so that the king would look into that case and maybe would free him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he said to the one whom he knew to be saved, mention me to your Lord. Your Lord means your king. There are two interpretations given to the next part. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ Satan made him forget to mention it to his Lord. There are two interpretations given. One interpretation is that this man, he left jail and he went to work with the king. But when he got in the palace and he got in close to the king and all of the luxury of life, he forgot about Yusuf, alayhi salam. Shaitan made him forget. That's one meaning. The other meaning is that Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salam, forgot to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked this man to ask the king. Instead of asking Allah, he asked the king to help him. Shaitan made him forget. And they say in the books of Tafsir, some of us say that Jibreel came to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and told him, who is the one who freed you from the well? He said, Allah. Who is the one who delivered you to safety in Egypt? He said, Allah. Who is the one who put you in the right place to be raised up and honored you? He said, Allah. who is the one who saved you from the fitna of the wife of Al-Aziz? He said, Allah. He said, if Allah is the one who saved you throughout all of this, how come instead of asking Allah, you're asking the king to save you out of jail? And because of that mistake, he paid a price. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He spent a few more years in jail. This mistake that seems to be small, he paid the price for it and he spent a few more years in jail. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. He's the one who saved you throughout this. Now definitely Sayyidina Yusuf was asking Allah for dua, but because he went through this human being and thought that he could do him something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach him the lesson. And the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever they commit a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them so that they would leave us a message that is clean. The anbiya of Allah, when they commit mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would correct their mistakes for them. So that when they die, all of the message that they leave behind is pure without any mistakes. If there was anything in it, it would have been corrected. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. So Yusuf stayed in prison for a few more years. The king, after a few years, saw a dream. We see that dreams were important in their lives. We have a few dreams here. A dream of Yaqub, a dream of the dream of Yusuf, the dream of the king, and the dream of these two men in jail. Dreams played an important role in their lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the anbiya a miracle to challenge the people in the thing that is most important to them. So Allah has given Sayyidina Yusuf the miracle of interpreting dreams. That's one of his miracles. The king saw a dream. The king saw seven fat cows eaten by seven ajaf. Ajaf means bones are sticking out. You could see the bone under the flesh. They're very skinny. So these seven fat cows were eaten up by seven skinny ones. That's one dream. Either in the same dream or in another dream, he saw seven green ears of corn eaten by seven dry ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ.
And the king of Egypt said, verily I saw in a dream seven fat cows, whom seven lean ones were devouring, and seven green ears of corn, and seven others dry. O notables, explain to me my dream, if it be that you can interpret dreams. We have seven fat cows eaten by seven weak ones, and then seven green ears of corn, and seven dry ears of corn. And then he asked his government and associates and people, please interpret this dream for me. None of them knew the answer. They said, mixed up false dreams. Forget about it. This is false dreams. Don't worry about it. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالَمِينَ. And we don't have any skill in the interpretation of dreams. We are not people who care about interpreting dreams. People who are materialistic and attached to life, they don't care about this unseen. Al-Ghayb. The servant was there. The one who was serving the king wine, he was there. When the topic of dreams was brought up, who did he remember? He remembered Yusuf after a few years. He now remembered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ جَاءَ مِنْهُمَا
Then the man who was released now at length remembered and said, I will tell you its interpretation, so send me forth. I will tell you the interpretation, let me go, and I'll get you the answer. So he went to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and he said, Yusuf, ayyuha as-siddiq. Oh, Yusuf, man of truth. Subhanallah, Allah has given the anbiya the quality of truth, and the people know it. Siddiq. He was called Siddiq, man of truth.
يوسف أيها الصديق أفتنا في سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات لعلي أرجع إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون.
Here, this man is narrating the dream to Sayyidina Yusuf, but Allah is mentioning to us the narration, and he is narrating it exactly as the king saw it in the dream. And that is important in dreams. If you want a dream to be interpreted, it has to be narrated exactly as it was seen. So here this man is narrating the dream exactly as the king has said it in the ayah before. Seven fat cows, devoured by seven weak ones, seven green ears of corn, and seven dry ones. Aftina, tell us the interpretation of this so that I can go and let the people know. Yusuf, alayhi salam, now has a bargaining tool in his hand. He's in jail, and this man comes to ask him about the interpretation of the dream. He could have said, I'm not going to tell you the answer until you free me. But Yusuf didn't. He gave him the answer without asking for anything. He said, and not only did he give the answer, he gave the interpretation and his recommendations. He said, for 7 consecutive years, you shall sow as usual. For 7 years, you're going to have an abundance of harvest. These are the 7 fat cows. You're going to have a lot of rain and you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a lot. And then he said, فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٍ مِّمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. That harvest which you reap, keep it in the ears, except a little of it which you may eat. He told them, you need to ration. Even though you're going to have a lot of harvest, don't use it all. Save most of it. And only use the minimum. Even though there are years of blessings, don't use it, don't consume it. Save it all, except for what you need for eating. And they used to say in the tafsir that Sayyidina Yusuf would survive on half a meal a day. And he has ordered the government to ration in the same way. And he would give the example to the people. He would eat the minimum, even though there was an abundance. Why? Because he wants them to store the rest. He told them to keep the grain, the corn, in the ear. There's an interesting story. You know that Sudan is going through an embargo. Our Sudani brothers are going through miserable times. The U.S. and its allies are putting them, forcing them into this embargo, this oppressive embargo, and they're not allowing them to export and import. Sudan has a lot of grain. They have a lot of wheat. But they're not able to export anything from the outside, and they need to store this grain, store it for the future. But the problem is, whenever they would store the grain in this underground bunkers, underground storages, after a few years it would go bad, it would spoil because of fungus and humidity and insects and worms and other diseases and bacteria, so it would spoil it. And they have a lot of wheat, but it would just go bad. It would expire. There was a Muslim professor who was visiting them. He's a professor in agriculture. He told them, I have a suggestion for you. I'll tell you, let's try this. How about instead of storing the grain as seed, store it in the ears? Let's try what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Let's store the grain in the ears. So they tried it, and they stored the grain in the ears, and it survived for a much longer period than it was before. So Yusuf alayhi salam told them, keep the grain in the ears so that we can store it. And then he said, then will come after that 7 hard years, which will devour what you have laid by in advance for them, except a little of that which you have guarded, stored. After these 7 years of abundance, there would come 7 difficult years. You would have nothing. And in those 7 years, you're going to be eating from what? From what you have stored. So these are the 7 lean, skinny cows eating the 7 fat ones. And the 7 green corns, ears of corn, you're going to use them for the 7 dry years. So he gave them recommendation of how to do it. And then he told them something that is not in the dream, and this is a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسُ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ.
Then thereafter will come a year in which people will have abundant rain and in which they will press wine and oil. This is not in the dream, but he told them that after the 7 difficult years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a lot of rain on you. This was conveyed to the king. The king was impressed. He wanted to make use of this expertise.
وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ تُونِي بِهِ.
The king said, bring him forth. Bring him to me. The messenger went to convey this news to Sayyidina Yusuf. He told them, the king is offering you to leave prison and jail. You're free. You're free to leave. Not only are you free to leave, but the king wants to have you as one of his advisors. Look at this honor. Not only is he going to leave jail after years, but he's going to be an advisor of the king. But the response of Yusuf alayhi salam was amazing. It was even amazing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yusuf said, no, I'm not going to leave. You're offered to leave jail. Here, the doors are open. Leave. And you can be an advisor for the king. He said, I'm not going to leave. Sayyidina Yusuf said, return to your Lord and ask him, what happened to the women who cut their hands? Surely my Lord Allah is well aware of their plot. Yusuf alayhi salam did not want to leave prison until his innocence is established. Because he was put in jail and he's innocent. And he does not want to leave jail as a favor given to him by the king. No, he wants to leave jail with everybody knowing that he's innocent. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, رحم الله يوسف لو كنت أنا لبادرت الباب أو لأجبت الداعي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, may Allah have mercy on Yusuf. If it was me, I would have rushed towards the door and responded to the call. Staying in prison for years And then you're offered to leave and you say, no, I'm not going to leave until my innocence is established. But the story of Yusuf is an example from the beginning to the end. It's an example of patience. Sabr. That is the essence of the story of Yusuf. Go and ask the king, what is the story of the woman who cut their hands? So he wants his case to be opened again. So the king investigated in this case. And then he brought these women and he asked them this question. The king said to the women, what was your affair when you did seek to seduce Yusuf? The woman told the truth. قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. The woman said, Allah forbid, no evil know we against him. All of these women witnessed the truth and said, Yusuf is innocent and he has committed no evil. At that particular moment, the wife of Al-Aziz, when she saw that the case is exposed and the truth is known, she said, she said, now the truth is manifest to all. And she admitted her guilt and said, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. It was I who sought to seduce him, and he is surely of the truthful. Now the innocence of Yusuf is established. And then she said,
ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ.
Then Yusuf said, I asked for this inquiry in order that he, Al-Aziz, may know that I betrayed him not in secret, and verily Allah guides not the plot of the betrayal. So here in the translation, they believe that these are words of Yusuf. There's a difference of opinion whether it's the words of Yusuf or her words. If it's the words of Yusuf, he is saying, because who was the Sayyid of Yusuf? Who was his slave owner? It was the husband of this woman. So Yusuf, after she admitted, he said, this is so that my Lord would know that I'm innocent. And this is her husband. And that it's not me who tried to seduce her, it is her. And I free not myself from the blame. Verily, the human self is inclined to evil, except when my Lord bestows his mercy upon whom he wills. Verily, my Lord is oft forgiving, most merciful. Now the king said, and the king said, bring him to me that I may attach him to my person. So they brought Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, honored, out of jail with his innocence established. And now he is with the king. And he talked with the king. The king was even more impressed with him when he talked with him. After he talked with him, then when he spoke to him, he said, verily this day you are with us high in rank and fully trusted. Now I trust you fully, and now I would give you authority. In that moment, Sayyidina Yusuf said, he said, set me over the storehouses of the land. SubhanAllah. Yusuf is asking for position. We know that in Islam, we're not supposed to ask for a position of leadership. Rasulullah ﷺ says, إِنَّا لَا نُوَلِّي هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَنْ سَأَلَهُ. We do not appoint to the position of leadership whoever asks for it. If you are seeking the position of leadership, you should not be given that position. But Sayyidina Yusuf is asking for that position. And then Sayyidina Yusuf is doing something else that we don't do in Islam. He said, إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am hafiz, meaning I will protect it, and I am knowledgeable. Alim, I'm knowledgeable. And Islam, we know, وَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not praise yourselves. Allah tells us in Quran, don't praise yourself. Don't give yourself credit and praise yourself. And Yusuf is giving himself praise. He's saying, أَنَا حَفِيظ وَعَلِيم. I will protect it. I have the ability to protect and take care of it. And Alim, I'm knowledgeable. The scholars say that when you are the only person who is able to take that position, then you're allowed to ask for it. And Yusuf was the only one who was fit for that position. If he left it, it would have been taken by somebody who will not take care of it. Number two, if you are not well known to the people, then you are allowed to introduce yourself. In the Islamic community, when everybody around you is Muslim, you should not go and ask for a position of leadership and authority because everyone around you is Muslim. And when you are part of the community and people know you, you should not go and praise yourself. But Yusuf alayhi salam is not known. They don't know him yet. He just came out of jail. So you need to tell them his credentials. And also, he's the only one who knows what's going on and knows this future. Therefore, if he leaves it, that will be an irresponsible stance because it will be taken by somebody who will corrupt and will not be able to take this authority. So this is why Sayyidina Yusuf asked for that position of leadership and why he told them about himself. And Yusuf alayhi salam was not asking this position for fame or power. No, he knew from the beginning that he will be taking care of Egypt in one of its most difficult times. Who wants to take care of a government that is broke? He's going to take care of Egypt in 7 of the most devastating years. Years of hunger and famine. Prime ministers run away from positions like this because this is the end of your career. If a stock market crash happens in your time, you lost your job. And we know it, that whole governments would collapse because of this. So there's no honor in taking that position. It's a very difficult and critical moment. But Yusuf wants to take that position, not for the honor and the prestige and the fame of it. No, he's doing it as a service to take care of the people of Egypt.
نصيب برحمتنا من نشاء ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين.
Thus did we give full authority to Yusuf in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now has established Yusuf firmly in the land. يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهُ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He will go wherever he wants with authority. It is said that the king told him, do whatever you want in the kingdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yusuf can go anywhere in Egypt and he has full authority to do whatever he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established Sayyidina Yusuf, who was sold as a slave, who faced death. Now Yusuf became the most powerful person in Egypt. He had the treasury, he had the authority all under his hands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
And verily the reward of the hereafter is better for those who believe and used to be obedient to Allah. I mean, Allah is telling us so that we don't think that dunya is something worth it. Allah is telling us that the reward of Yusuf in Akhirah is the true reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving the reward for Yusuf in Akhirah. That is the place of reward. The famine that struck Egypt wasn't limited to that area. It had some effects on the surrounding areas, including Ash-Sham. So this drought not only affected the area of Egypt, but also overspilled to the areas of Palestine and Syria and those parts of the world. So the place where Yaqub alayhi salam was living was suffering from that drought. But now all the people around Egypt have nothing to eat because they don't have someone like Yusuf to manage their affairs. So everyone was running out of wealth and money and food except Egypt. Egypt had enough to feed the people of Egypt and to feed its neighbors because of the wonderful management of Sayyidina Yusuf. So now the brothers of Yusuf are going to the center of the drought, the famine, Egypt, to ask for food. Even though that is where the center of the drought and the famine is, but that is where everybody is going to ask for food. Why? Because it was under a just and great manager, and that is Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So sometimes it's not a matter of how much wealth the earth has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put blessing even if the earth is dry, if there is adl, if there is justice. Ibn Taymiyyah says, justice is the thing that the heavens and earth are established on. Whenever it is missing, everything will go corrupt. The earth under you could be filled with wealth. Oil could be pumping out of the ground. Harvest could be filling your storages. Nevertheless, you would have poverty in the streets. Why? Because justice is missing. But you could have a land that is completely dry and drought, and there's nothing growing up, like in Egypt. Nevertheless, everybody's going to Egypt to get their ration. So it's not a matter of how much your earth is producing, it's a matter of the justice, al-adl. In the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, we were opening up some of the storages of Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah are the ruling family of the Muslim world for a few decades. Imam Ahmad said, we were opening some of their storages, so we found a sack. And in the sack, we found a mustard seed. Now the mustard seed is very, very small. It's a very small seed, very small. But this mustard seed like was the seed of a date. The size of the mustard seed was like a seed of a date, this big. And that seed was put in this small sack. Written on it was, this used to grow in the time of justice, the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This type of seed, mustard seed, used to grow in the time of justice and the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So Allah blesses even the land because of the justice of the ruler. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Yusuf's brethren came and they entered unto him and he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. He knew them. He knew that these are my brothers, but they didn't know him. They came, why did they come to Egypt? To receive ration, some food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِي الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ.
Yusuf used to give ration per head. So he would give every individual a camel load. So how many brothers were these? There were 10. 10 brothers. So he gave them 10 camel loads. And then he was talking to them. He told them, how many brothers are you? They said, we're 11. He said, why didn't you bring the 11th brother with you? They said, he's with his father. He said, okay, next year bring him with you, because as you see, I will give you a full load per head. If you bring him with you, instead of going back home with 10 loads, you will get 11. This is targhib. He's trying to encourage them to bring the brother. And then he's using targhib, threatening them. And if you don't bring him with you, I'm not going to give you anything. So he's using targhib and targhib. The carrot and the stick. The carrot, bring your brother, I'll give you 11 loads. The stick, if you don't bring him, you're going to get zero, nothing. But if you bring him not, there shall be no measure of corn for you with me, nor shall you even come near me. They said, they said, we shall try to get permission for him from his father, and verily we shall do it. The brothers of Yusuf, they brought with them some merchandise to do trade. So they gave this stuff that they brought with them, and they took instead of it food. The merchandise that they brought was worthless, really. It wasn't very valuable. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said, go and put it back in their luggage. This merchandise that they brought, put it back in their luggage without them knowing. Why did Sayyidina Yusuf do that? So that when they go back home, they would have something to bring next year with them to do trade. Yusuf was afraid that maybe they would go home and they would have nothing left to bring with them next year. So they cannot do, they would think, well, if we don't have anything to give, how can we take corn? So Yusuf said, give them back what they brought so that they will use it to come back next year. Yusuf told his servants to put their money, which they have brought with them, into their bags so that they might know it when they go back to their people in order that they may come back. When they went back to their father, they said, oh, our father, no more measure of grain will be given to us unless we take our brother. So send our brother with us and we shall get our measure, and truly we will guard him. Who was this brother? This was Binyamin, the brother of Yusuf, from the same mother. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam was protective of Binyamin just like he was with Yusuf. And he would not trust his brothers to take care of him. So the brothers are trying to convince the father. They said, listen, if you don't send them with us, we can't get anything. Yaqub knows what they have done with Yusuf, that they had made a conspiracy against him. He doesn't want this to happen to Binyamin again. He said, can I entrust him to you except as I entrusted his brother Yusuf to you aforetime? But Allah is the best to guard, and He is the most merciful of those who show mercy.
وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالُوا يَا هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا ونمير أهلنا ونحفظ أخانا ونزداد كيل بعير ذلك كيل
And when they opened their bags, they found their money had been returned to them. They said, "Oh, our father, what more can we desire? This is our money, it has been returned to us, so we shall get more food for our family, and we shall guard our brother and add one more measure of a camel's load. This quantity is easy for the king to give." Now Yaqub is almost convinced, but he said,
قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ
I am not going to send him with you unless you promise me that you will not forsake him unless you are surrounded and there's no way for you to survive. Don't come to me alive without Binyamin. And I want you to give me your promise. He, Jacob, said, I will not send him with you until you swear an oath to me in Allah's name that you will bring him back to me unless you are yourselves surrounded. So they gave him the promise. And when they had sworn their solemn oath, he said, Allah is the witness over that which you said. These brothers, 11 brothers, were strong and handsome. And I mean, you have 11 sons. That is something that people are going to be jealous about. Sayyidina Yaqub might have been worried of the effect of the evil eye, al-ayn. And this is haqq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-aynu haqq. The evil eye is true. The evil eye is some ability that some people have to cause you harm when they are jealous of you. So Sayyidina Yaqub said,
وَقَالَ يَا بَنِيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ
And he said, Oh my sons, do not enter by one gate, but enter by different gates. Don't go all of you together from one gate. Go from different gates, because if you go all of you together, people will be jealous. So break up into groups and go from different gates. Yaqub is telling them this to keep them away from the evil eye. But then Yaqub is clarifying something. He said,
وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ
And I cannot avail you against Allah at all. This is means that you could follow. This is a sabab. But it is not this that would save you. It is Allah. So we follow the means. But then we leave the matter in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is tawakkul.
إن الحكم إلا لله.
Allahu Akbar. Even Yaqub is emphasizing this again and he's saying, إن الحكم إلا لله. The command and the decision rests only with Allah. And then he said,
عليه توكلت توكلت عليه فليتوكل المتوكلون.
In him I put my trust, and let all those that trust put their trust in Allah.
ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم ما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they entered according to their father's advice, it did not avail them in the least against the will of Allah. It was but a need of Jacob's inner self which he discharged. It is not this that will save them. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they entered and met with Yaqub, with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. When they came in to meet Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam took Benjamin to the side without the brothers knowing. And he told him, Benjamin, do you know who's speaking to you? This is your brother Yusuf. He embraced his brother and hugged him, and he told him,
قال إني أنا أخوك فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون.
Verily, I am your brother, so grieve not for what they used to do. And then Sayyidina Yusuf made a plan. Sayyidina Yusuf provided them with their camel loads, 11 camel loads. And then he took Suwa al-Malik, the cup of the king, which was made of gold, very valuable thing that belonged to the king. And he put it in the luggage of his brother Benjamin. He sticked it in there without nobody knowing. All of the brothers, they loaded all of their luggage and they started to leave. And suddenly they heard an announcement.
ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ.
That the cup of the king has been stolen. So they said, we did not come to cause corruption in the land. This is not our habit or custom. We're not robbers. We're not thieves. They said, if you are not thieves, we have to look at your luggage. We're going to look in every luggage. But what if we find it in your luggage? What will happen? They said, if you find it in our luggage, then you take the guilty one as a slave with you. This used to be the law of Yaqub. The law of Sayyidina Yaqub is that whoever steals is captured as a prisoner by the owner of the goods. The law of the king of Egypt, whom Yusuf is working under, is that the one who steals is punished, a certain punishment. Yusuf does not want his brother to be punished. Yusuf wants to take his brother. So Yusuf made this trick, this plan, to take his brother according to their law. So he made them state the rules. He told them, okay, what if we find it in your belongings, what will happen? So they told him their law, the law of Yaqub, which was you take him as a prisoner. He said, okay, we'll follow your laws, sign this paper, this is the agreement. We are following your rules, not ours. And then they started looking in the camels one by one. And they started with the other camels before. So they kept on uncovering them. They would look inside. They would not find it. They would go to the next one. And then when they opened up the luggage of Benjamin, they found it there. When they found this cup in the luggage of Benjamin, what did the brothers say? They said, if he steals, his brother has stole before. They said that his brother stole before. They're talking about Yusuf. Now the Mufassirin say what is meant by this is that when Yusuf was young, you could twist the information. When Yusuf was young, he did steal. But what did he steal? His grandmother, they say, this is the story of Tafsir Allah, it could be valid, it could be not. They say that his grandmother had a small idol. And Yusuf stole it from her. And he destroyed it. So they used this, and they said he stole before. Even though this is not really stealing, this is da'wah, destroying a false god. Anyway, but they said, إِنْ يَسْرِغْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. Let me read these ayat that we just covered now.
فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ.
So when he had furnished them forth with their provisions, he put the golden bowl into their brother's bag. Then a crier cried, "O you in the caravan, surely you are thieves."
قالوا وأقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون.
Then they turned toward them and said, "What is it that you have missed?"
قالوا نفقد صواع الملك ولمن جاء به
They said, "We have missed the golden bowl of the king, and for him who produces it, the reward of a camel load, I will be bound by it." They said, "By Allah, indeed, you know that we came not to make mischief in the land, and we are no thieves." They, Joseph's men, said, "What then shall be the penalty of him if you are proved to be liars?"
قالوا جزاؤه من وجد في رحله فهو جزاؤه.
They said, the brothers of Yusuf, "The penalty should be that in whose bag it is found should be held for the punishment of the crime. Thus we punish the wrongdoers."
فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ.
So he began the search in their bags before the bag of his brother. Then he brought it out of his brother's bag.
كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفَ مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ إِلَّا
thus did we plan for Joseph. He could not take his brother by the law of the king, except that Allah willed it.
نرفع درجات من نشاء.
We raise to degrees whom we please.
وفوق كل علم عليم.
But over all those endowed with knowledge is the all-knowing Allah. I want to comment on one word here. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. Allah says, he could not take his brother according to the religion of the king. Deen. Allah used the word deen. Allah is calling this law deen. It is religion. Laws are part of religion. This is a law. We call it criminal law. Here in the United States, criminal law. It has nothing to do with religion. And that mentality is being engraved in our minds, unfortunately, that laws have nothing to do with religion. Allah in Quran is calling the law of the king deen, religion. That is the religion of the king, and this is the religion of Allah. Laws are part of religion. في دين الملك. Allah did not say in the qanun of the malik, in the law of the malik. Allah said in the deen, in the religion of the malik, in the king. They said,
قالوا إن يسرق فقد سرق أخ له من قبل.
If he steals, there was a brother of his who did steal before him. Sayyidina Yusuf held those emotions in his heart and he didn't speak.
فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ.
But these things did Joseph keep in himself, revealing not the secrets to them. He did not respond to this. And then he said, also silently,
قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا.
He said within himself, you are in worst case, and Allah knows best the truth of what you assert. They're speaking to Yusuf, and they're telling him that Yusuf stole before. Yusuf knows the truth. He said, Allahu a'lam, Allah knows better. But he did not show that to them. Now the brothers are trying to free Binyamin, because they have given their father a promise that we'll come back with him. They said, O ruler of the land, verily he has a father who is old, so take one of us in his place, indeed we think you are one of the good doers. He said, no, that will be oppression, that is wrong, how can we take an innocent one? He is guilty, we're going to keep him. When they gave up, خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّ, they went on the side. Their elder brother, they say his name is Rubil, he said,
قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ.
The eldest among them said, know you not that your father did take an oath from you in Allah's name, and before this you did fail in your duty with Yusuf. Therefore, I will not leave this land until my father permit me, or Allah decides my case, and He is the best of the judges. He said, I'm not going to leave Egypt. I'm not going to go and face my father after this. We have betrayed Yusuf before, and now we're going to go to our fathers and say that our brother is taken as a prisoner. I'm not going to leave. So he stayed there, and the other brothers went back to Egypt. So they went back, and they told their father what happened. The father didn't believe this. How could it happen that before you betray Yusuf and you come and lie, and now you betray his other brother and you lie? So he told them,
قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ.
Nay, but your own selves have beguiled you to do something. They said,
وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ.
This time they're telling the truth. They said, ask the people in Egypt and ask the caravan, all of them will witness that we're telling the truth. But this is like, they say that there was one shepherd of sheep. And once he started saying, the wolf is attacking, so everybody came to help him. And they found that there's no wolf. He was lying. The next day he said, the wolf is attacking, they all came to help him. Nobody came to help. The third day the wolf did show up. And he started saying, the wolf is attacking, nobody took him to help him because they thought he's lying. So the brothers of Yusuf, they lied before. They lied about Yusuf. Now they're telling the truth, but their fathers cannot believe it. And they're trying to convince him, and they're telling him, ask the witnesses, but he said, no, you have made a plot. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He said, I will have patience. And then he said, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. He did not lose hope. He said, may Allah bring them all back to me, Yusuf and his brother. He did not even lose hope in Yusuf, because he remembers the dream of Yusuf, and he knows that one day Yusuf will be victorious. He knew. The father, now his sorrow was, the injury was brought up again. And he remembered Yusuf. And now it's Yusuf and his brother Binyamin. So the father started to cry and weep until he turned blind. He kept on crying and weeping, حَتَّى بْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, until his eyes lost vision because of sorrow. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He was suppressing that sorrow. The brothers tried to reduce this pain on their father, and they said, by Allah, you will never cease remembering Yusuf until you become weak with old age or until you be of the dead. They felt sorry for their father. They saw that he's gonna destroy his health by this sorrow that he's suppressing in his heart. He said,
قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you know not. I am not complaining to you. I'm not complaining to mankind. I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me. Ashku ila Allah. I seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said,
Ya bani yalhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa أخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله.
Oh my sons, go you and inquire about Yusuf and his brother. The father is telling these other brothers, go and look for Yusuf and his brother. But Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam did not lose hope, and he said, and never give up hope of Allah's mercy, certainly no one despairs of Allah's mercy except people who disbelieve. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330 or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943 or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashir.com. You can also write to our address at 10515 East 40th Avenue, Suite 108, Denver, Colorado, 80239-3264. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of this series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please proceed to the next CD.